every day.
Amen.
Y'all still just remember Bonnie. She called me again last night and remember, I think she said it was Kay's cousin. She's 19 years old. She's came down with a cobra. And Bonnie's still having issues, but she just said maybe one of these days that she could get back. So
bless her heart.
I'll try to sing this song here.
Sarah, Lord, we pray, Lord Father, just mentioned here about Bonnie's cousin, I think Sharon mentioned, Father. Lord, we know you know about all of these, Father, but you told us to pray. You said if any two of you on earth would agree as touching anything, it'd be granted of our Father in heaven. Lord, we're praying right now, Lord, you'd send help. We pray right now, Father, you'd give grace. We're praying right now, Lord, you'd visit them, Lord, with healing in your wings. Lord, we ask these favors. We bring these petitions to you in the blessed name. It's above every name, that name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, we pray, God, Lord, you do even exceedingly and abundantly above all we pray or ask. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
come morning, something we're all looking forward to.
Yeah. Bless them, Lord. Amen. I need to turn this off. I'm loud enough as it is.
Yeah, I get that.
I'll tell you one thing, an old street preacher, he don't need a microphone. I hollered up on those public squares. Me and Donnie run into a man yesterday, and he remembered old Brother Eddie preaching up on the public square up there. I'd done that for 10 years, preaching on the public square. That's old Brother Eddie up there on the steps of the courthouse up there. I'm preaching against drinking, amen. They took my picture because it's getting ready to vote on making our town wet. I'm up there preaching against it, amen. But for what it's worth, I was there, and before they ever come up there with that camera, I've been up there on that square every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. And it wasn't long, I had policemen showing up, firemen showing up, a lot of people showing up. I first thought I was getting in trouble. But the policeman said, "No, we just want to hear you preach. Preach on." I said, "Good, that's what I come to do." And I was kind of glad. I don't want to be in trouble. I want to be a law obeyer, a law keeper. I don't want to be a law breaker. While I'm rambling on, you can build up your Bibles to the book of Ruth. It's right there by the book of Judges. If you like me, you're glad you got a thumb index, amen. Because it's just a little bitty, just a little two-page book.
Yeah.
Right there at the end of the book of Judges. And boy, I'm really excited about preaching today.
Amen.
I really am. This message has been burning in my heart. And I'm looking forward to preaching this message this morning. I feel like it's a very timely message. And needed. I wish I had a bigger platform to preach this message from. I believe this message would help our country.
That's right.
I believe it would wake our country up, Brother
right.
Mitchell.
That's what it means.
I know the kind of trouble we're in. It don't make no sense. But maybe after I get done preaching today, maybe it will. We're going to read 17 verses here in Ruth chapter number 1 and probably comment on several others here in Ruth. But actually, my main context of what I'm going to be preaching is verse 16 and verse number 17. But I want to read all the way down to verse 17, get a little Bible in here today. And it starts out verse 1, "Now it came to pass." I love that wording.
Right.
That's my favorite wording in the Bible.
Yeah.
In other words, this really happened.
Right.
"Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled." Now, I'm glad that's in there, because if you'll look over there in the last verse of the book of Judges, you'll notice there's a problem. It's mentioned in that last verse, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes." It didn't make it right. And we'll see after I read this that they done some things that wasn't right. But it says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons." And the name of the man was Amalek, and the name of his wife, Naomi. Her name means pleasant. His name means "My God is King." Now, if his God is King, her name's pleasant, they need to dwell where they are. Well, the famine ain't that bad, but anyway, like I said, we're reading about a mistake. And it actually ends up being a blessing before it's all said and done. "And the name of his two sons, Mahlon," Mahlon means sick, "and Shalon," Shalon, it means pining, so he didn't really have two strapping young men, just had two poorly men, according to their name. One was sick, the other was pining, in other words, fearful, and the other one that's named after poor health, Ephonites of Bethlehem, Judah. "And they came into the country of Moab and continued there." In other words, they didn't just sojourn, they stayed there. Kind of like Lot. He pitched his tents towards Sodom. Then next thing you know, he's sitting in the gate of Sodom. And he done about like this man here. "And Amalek, Naomi's husband, died." That's a red flag. "And she was left and her two sons." That'd been a good time to get up and leave.
That's right.
"And they took them wives," that means they're still there, "of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah." Orpah. Sound like Oprah. But I don't think that is Oprah. But anyway, Orpah, maybe that's the way you pronounce it. "The name of the other is Ruth." Now, I can say that pretty easy. My aunt's name was Ruth, and she was a great woman. "And they dwelt there about 10 years. You know, they sojourned, and now the father, the husband's dead.
Yeah.
Now they're here about 10 years. In other words, they can't take a hint. "And Mahlon and Shalon died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughter-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you, she's pronouncing a blessing upon these two daughter-in-laws. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. Let me tell you something about tears. You don't need an interpreter. Verse 10, and they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. You know, that's a noble statement they made, but it wasn't true but with one of them. We're kind of like these two daughter-in-laws. We say one thing and do another. But I want you to listen real good right here. They said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I'm too old to have a husband. And if I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voices. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And we're getting to where I want to preach about right here. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and to her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. This is important right here. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, nor return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if all but death part thee and me. We'll stop our reading right there. I'm preaching today on immigration. And pray with me. Father, we thank you for the beautiful day you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for the mercy drops that fell this morning. We thank you, Father, that the sun is shining right now, Father. Lord, we know that you're in control of all these things, and we give you glory, we give you praise. Lord, thank you for these words that we've read, things that came to pass that have meaning even today. Father, help us to expound upon them. Give, I pray, Lord, Father, your anointing upon us that we might be able to preach as the Lord gives ability. Yeah. Father, I'm asking right now, knowing you know already my inability, that you'd preach to me and preach through me, Lord, these great truths that we have here today, Father, from these verses. We'll give you all the praise and glory, and we'll thank you for whatever you do. Bless our pastor, Lord. He told me he'd be up in Somerset today preaching for Brother Noel Brockman, and I've already prayed for him this morning. And we want to pray again for him, Father, that you would anoint him up there. Lord, we want to pray again, Father, for Sister Brenda, Sister Sarah, Sister Vonnie, and I think it was her niece, Lord, that's got the COVID. And Lord, we're so glad that, Lord, it doesn't have any threat to us being children of God, nor people that aren't. The recovery is almost 100%. But help us, I pray, Father, not to be filled with fear, but rather be filled with faith. And Lord, we'll thank you for all these favors. In Jesus' name, we'll ask them. Amen.
Amen.
I'm preaching today about a very important subject. It's been misconstrued. Bear with me. I don't want to mess it up.
Blessing God.
I feel more compelled to preach this message than any message I've preached in a long time.
Amen.
I couldn't wait to get here this morning.
Blessing.
And even now I have to admit my heart's beating like I like for it to beat. Amalek left Bethlehem and went to Moab, and that was a deadly decision. People make decisions every day.
Yeah.
Some of you decided to come to the house of God today, and you're here. And some thought that they might not make it and didn't. For whatever reason, I'm glad you're here. And for whatever reason, people are visiting by way of the internet, by way of the Facebook live streaming. Yeah. I'm thankful for everyone that's visiting this service today, for this is a very important message. Very timely message. It'll affect you. It affects me. It affects the Word of God. It affects the will of God.
Amen.
Amalek left Bethlehem, the house of God, and went to Moab, and that was a deadly decision.
Yeah.
But I want you to know, in this, you're reading about a young girl named Ruth. She's a Moabitess. She made a decision also. Boy, she made a good decision. And listen, I'm preaching on immigration. And in her decision, I'm going to say a lot about immigration. You notice down here, she said, "Thy people shall be my people." That's the first thing that you ought to consider before you immigrate anywhere. You ought to be as serious as Ruth was. She said, "The Lord do so to me, and more also if aught but death part thee and me." She's serious about her decision, amen. Her decision was to leave Moab, and you can see that in verse 16. She don't want her false gods no more. Now, I'm going to say a lot of things today, and they're not controversial, but a lot of them you probably don't know. I keep up way too much with things going on today. Me and Brother Donnie talked about a lot of things going on today as we drove up here this morning. And one thing I try to do, I try to use the eyes the Lord's given me and the ears the Lord's given me and the mind that the Lord has given me to discern the times. I just preached on redeeming the times. Yeah. This is a lot like it, but there are a lot of false gods out there.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of places that are starving to death.
Right.
Because they've got the wrong God.
Yeah.
You take India right now. They're Buddhists. They're starving. They got cows walking through the houses. And they're afraid to kill one because they believe in reincarnation. The Beatles come down here and they sung a song. "Lord, it takes so long." He's a Buddhist. He's talking about being reincarnated. You may not have picked up on that in that song. He said, "Oh Lord, I want to see you, but it takes so long." He was believing in reincarnation, talking about coming back as this, coming back as that, coming back as this. Donnie's killed I don't know how many flies here this morning with a fly swatter. I'm glad I don't believe in reincarnation. I tell you right now, we had a mouse evidently to die here in the church. I'm glad I don't believe in reincarnation. But a lot of people today, they've got false gods today, and they pay the price for it. They don't have a meal barrel running over. They've got one that's empty, amen.
Amen.
I want you to know God's desire is to save all.
Amen.
God's desire is to love all.
Amen.
God's desire is to feed all.
Amen.
God's desire is to help all.
Amen.
For all will have nothing to do with Him. There are some, they'll kill you. You mention His name and I ain't kidding you, they'll cut your head off. and they'll videotape it, and you'll say, why they do that? Because the Bible says they're heathens, and it says in Psalms chapter 2 verse 1, why do the heathens rage? I'll tell you why. Because they need the Lord. Amen.
Amen. That's right.
She made a decision, Brother Mitchell, to leave Moab. She don't want her false gods no more. I would to God that everybody knew the real God.
Amen.
Boy, there's no substitute for Him. He's in a category all His own.
That's right.
Miranda, He said, whom will you compare me with? There's no one you can compare Him to.
Right.
He's altogether lovely.
Right.
Hey, He went a long way saving on a sinner like me.
Yes, Lord.
Praise God. He done it so good. I like to go through it again.
That's
amen.
Right. Amen.
But once was all that was needed. He made me whole. He said, they that are sick need not a physician. Amen. I want you to know, praise God, He cared me. I don't have the sentence of death no more. I've got eternal life. Death hath no more dominion upon me. I tell you right now, I'm not afraid of anything. Amen. And my decision, amen, was like Ruth's decision. Amen. And that was to get out of where I was and to get to Him. Amen.
Amen.
She don't want her false gods no more, Brother Ed.
That's right.
She don't want no more death. She's watched her father-in-law die. She's watched her brother-in-law die. She's watched her husband die.
Yeah.
You know what? They're over there. They're dying. They may die here too.
That's right.
But I'll tell you what. If you got the Lord for your Lord, mm-hmm. Bible says precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints.
Yeah, yeah.
Not only that, Jesus said, whosoever believeth in me, you shall never die. He said, believe without this. I don't know about y'all, but I don't like dying. I like kind of thinking about eternal life. And I'm glad, praise God, I got eternal life.
Yeah.
I'm glad, praise God, death ain't got no claim on me no more. Man, it bounced off me like I don't know what. Amen. Hallelujah.
It'd like to
lay claim, but my Savior was so mighty that He took His body through death, and He destroyed him that had the power of death, that's the devil, and He delivered me from death thanks to His resurrection. Amen. He didn't stay dead. He might have been dead, but praise God, He got up. And when He got up, He said, behold, I'm He that was dead, but I'm alive forevermore, and I got the keys. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Ruth's decision's a lot like my decision. I didn't want no false gods no more. I didn't want death no more. She's cleaving to the hope of a better life. And boy, she made a right decision there. She's leaving Moab behind her. The Bible says no one can serve two masters. In Matthew chapter 6 verse 24, it says you'll love the one or you'll hate the other. You can't have the world in one hand. A lot of Christians make this mistake. I've battled it myself. See, we're in the world, but we're not of the world.
That's right.
The friendship of this world's ended with God. I'm just telling you right now. Probably one of the reasons I ain't in heaven yet is because I ain't ready yet. God's still getting me weaned off of some things. You know, He's the potter, I'm just clay. I was thinking about this morning where He's going with this vessel. I'm looking in the mirror. I said, Lord, it's looking pretty bad. I said, would you mind doing something? I wouldn't mind being a little bit debonair. You know what I mean? Now this guy, I look over there, and he's got a 4-foot mohawk, and all I've got's a bald head, amen. I mean, this guy can't even get in a car. He's got a ride a motorcycle. He's going for the Guinness record. Brother Mitchell, he's got a 4-foot mohawk. I got a reverse mohawk.
Right.
But anyway, I just want you to know the decision. You've got to leave the world behind.
That's right. Yeah.
Let me put this in layman's terms. The devil wants you to go back to what you was.
That's right.
Before you got saved.
Amen.
Now he ain't gonna let up.
No.
So you just might as well, there ain't no discharge from this warfare. So you might as well put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Because he's going to keep coming against you. There's a lot of people that sit on a pew just like you said right now that the devil's able to get them out the door and never look back again.
You're right.
Well, Moab, Ruth done just the opposite. She put Moab behind her and she clave to the hope of a better life. She said, I'm going where you're going. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, I tell you, Paul He told King Agrippa, he said, I wish altogether you was like I am, except for these bonds. Amen. When King Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Let me tell you something. You can't serve two masters.
No, you can't.
And I know I'm repeating that, but I want to repeat it, because you're going to love one of them and you're going to hate the other. So make your mind up. Let go of the world.
That's right.
I have what I guess could be called an extreme makeover. I mean, everybody that knew me said, what happened to you? I said, I didn't have a close encounter. I said, I had a head-on collision with Jesus. I mean, I want you to know, when I got up, everything looked different. Amen?
That's right.
Man, oh man, I had an extreme makeover. My mama that loved me, Miranda. I went to tell my mama, I said, Joanne, I said, Mama, I just want you to know I got saved. She shook a little bony finger in my face.
Amen.
And said, well, she said, when you get home, she said, you look up the word fanatic. That's what she said, fellas.
Amen.
Call her dear son a fanatic. She said, that's what you are. Amen. I went and cornered my dad, Brother Jerry. I did have him cornered too. He backed up the wall. And I told him, I said, Daddy, I got saved. I sure like you to get saved. He said, I'm happy for you, son. And he said, I don't want what you got. Now, 10 years later, he did. He got saved. But at the time,
right.
He couldn't figure out exactly what had happened to me. Mama couldn't figure out exactly what happened to me. I never will forget Mama Phil come here, son, preach. And I let you come, but I knew the message God already gave me wasn't going to be a pleasant message. Now, Mama, this is her son, her one and only son. She makes a mistake, Miranda, come here sitting on the front row. And I already knew what the Lord done gave me to preach. I'd love to change it, Brother Ed. I would. If I had a Savior, I said, Lord, you might make preaching something a little bit more pleasant.
Yeah.
My mom was sitting on the front row, walked with her hind end from this side, and I didn't know she was going to have any hind end left. I'm supposed to go to her house and eat dinner. I knew that. She did too. I'm looking at her, and that lip's getting tight. And I'm looking at Mama, and she's, I mean, I'm expecting to explode any minute. When it got done, she left. She got to her house while I did. All I knew it was going to be bad, Carolyn.
Amen.
I come in her house. I'm supposed to eat dinner with them. Then I went down to Tompkinville, preach on WTKY radio down there. Brother J.K. Whitmore, they waiting on me down there. And here I am. I'm going to eat dinner with my mom. And I'm going to head straight to Tompkinville and preach like a wild man. I get the mama's, and Brother Ed, I sat down at the table, and she threw my plate down. I'm expecting it. It didn't catch me off guard.
Amen.
She set my glass of iced tea down, and it spilled all over the place. I thought, well, here it comes. She set everything on the table, Brother Donnie, and I know where it's going, you know.
Amen.
I mean, I could have told her what she was going to say before she opened her mouth.
Amen.
But she finally got where she could talk. I mean, face as red as a beet. And the first thing came out of her mouth, Carolyn, she said, you always preach that hard. I said, no, Mama, I held back because she's there. She said, I'll slap a dickens out of you. And I'm sitting there thinking, Mama, you've been all right. You sit back there in the back, you've been all right. So if you want to sit on the front row, buddy, I'll tell you right now, you better. You better be ready. Amen. Oh, Brother Ed, I don't mean to, but I'll rock your boat. I'll step on your toes. I'll call it like it is. I'm sure. Hey, I don't want to get in trouble with God, but I'd much rather have you mad at me, have him mad at me. But I already knew that message God gave me that day, just like I did today. Her decision to leave Moab was a good one. Her commitment can be seen also in verse number 16.
Yeah.
She told Naomi, she said, I'm going with you. I'm going to live where you live. And she said, your people shall be my people. And I say amen to that kind of immigration. You know, I've been reading the Constitution here lately. I don't know why. I don't even know what I'm doing sometimes. But I had a urgency upon me to get the Constitution out and read it. And I have been reading it. As a matter of fact, I read it all the way through. I was amazed at some of the stuff that's actually in the Constitution. Now here's why I'm reading the Constitution. Our country's getting, it's getting out of the banks. I mean, they're getting a little crazy. And Brother Mitchell, the Constitution is over the government.
Right.
Just like the Bible is over the church.
Yeah.
Now a church needs to line up with the Bible.
Right.
And America needs to line up with the Constitution.
Yeah. Right.
But if you don't know the Constitution, it can be misconstrued, and you can hear somebody say, that's unconstitutional. Let me give you an example. Has anybody heard of a cemetery called Arlington Cemetery?
Yeah.
Did you know they removed every single cross from Arlington Cemetery? Over one atheist, they complain about there being crosses in the cemetery. We didn't get to vote on that. Did you vote on sanctuary cities?
No.
Did you vote on pulling statues over?
No.
They calling our president a dictator. Well, who removed them crosses? Who's putting these sanctuary cities up for these criminals? I'm preaching about immigration. I'm going somewhere with this.
Right.
It's terrible. And I'm looking at the clock. It's flying.
Amen.
And I really got to take my time. I don't have no choice here. I got to answer God on this message. He burned this message in my heart. We didn't get to vote on the sanctuary cities. You see, we're a republic.
Yeah.
Right.
That's why we got a constitution.
Yeah.
It starts out, we the people, in order to form a more perfect union. You see, a republic is when people have a say.
Right.
That's why our government's of the people, by the people, and for the people. What I'm writing about, Brother Mitchell, is I didn't get to vote.
Right.
On those crosses being removed.
Nope.
They don't offend nobody, Brother Ed. It offended me.
That's right.
That's right.
I've been a citizen of this United States for 66 years. Why didn't I have a say?
That's right.
You see where I'm going?
Yeah.
Well,
amen.
Ruth left Moab behind.
Right.
We got people, Brother Mitchell, trying to bring Moab into America. That's where I'm going.
That's right.
And it's taken a little while. I'm having to lay this down like it needs to be laid down.
Amen.
So you won't miss this message. We got people that want to bring Moab into America that don't want to leave Moab back at Moab,
right,
that want to cleave to what's right, to have hope, to have God, to have the blessing of God.
Yeah.
You can't have them both.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
They removed those crosses out of Arlington Cemetery. I done a funeral for a military man. And the military, they done all the salute and all that, shooting the guns and everything. When it's all said and done, Sybil, I asked those military men, we was up pretty close to Somerset. I think it was up maybe around Liberty or somewhere. But I asked those military men, they was over smoking their cigarettes. I said, y'all notice anything missing? They looked around, you know. No, what's missing? I said, show me a cross somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't the one. Boy, that bothered them. Because they realized that it happened.
Yeah.
Without them even knowing it, without their consent to have been done. I've been reading the Constitution so I could kind of be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. You see, the Constitution, it's wrote in such a way that America will always stand for what's right.
That's right.
Now, I got in my pocket last night. I know this is, you can't really find this stuff no more. We got a corn shortage. I listened to Brother Lee Watts yesterday. He said it's a bunch of baloney. He said big tech companies are saying there ain't no corn shortage. I mean, they're saying that there's a corn shortage. And they say they don't have no change. So what they're doing, Sister Joanne's, they're rounding off your amount to the next dollar high.
Right.
What you don't know is where that money goes. That's what bothered me.
Right.
I heard where it goes. I'm not for that.
Black
that bothered me. They said they're taking this money and they're funding Black Lives Matter.
That's right.
They're funding Antifa.
Yep.
They're funding this communist anti-American movement and using your pennies to do it. You say, well, that's just pennies. Hey, it adds up.
Yeah.
How much business you think Walmart does a day? How much business you think Food Line does a day? Or Houses does a day? And I don't mean no flex on you, Brother Donnie. But you know what? I got my change out this morning.
Right.
And I seen something on here, Brother Mitchell. E. Pluribus Unum. Who knows what that means? By the way, it's on the penny.
Right.
It's on the dime. It's on the quarter. Does anybody know what that means?
Out of many one.
Out of many one.
That's right.
That's what Moab, that's what Ruth did. She said, I don't want more Moab. She said, I want to be one with you, Naomi. She said, I want to go where you go. I want your people to be my people. Man. She said, I want your God to be my God. She said, I want to die where you die.
That's right.
And she said, God, do so unto me if aught but death separates you and me. Her mind made up simple. America, E pluribus unum. Adam and Eve one. Right. On the other side of the coin, Brother Jerry, in God we trust.
Right.
It's on every one of them.
Yeah.
It's on your dollar bills. Now, I'm not getting political here, but I want to bring this to your mind. I'm not meaning this like it's going to sound. In a Democratic convention, two people omitted when they said the pledge of the United States of America. Two people omitted one nation under God. They went ahead and said individual liberty and justice for all. They omitted it, one nation under God. One of them was the gay, and the other one was a Muslim, and they were, I don't know, Congress, senators, whatever. But that's not the first time this has happened. Back in 2002, an effort was made to remove one nation under God from our Pledge of Allegiance,
right.
And House members came out on the steps of the Capitol,
right.
And one by one they recited the pledge, and every one of them had in there reciting, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I dare you to find that video. Dare you.
Right.
It's nowhere to be found.
No.
They removed it. Mm-hmm. It's gone. I'm glad I got to see it. In my mind, they can't re-see it.
That's right.
But on one side of this coin, it says, in God we trust. That's what Ruth did. She said, I'm going with your God. I'm leaving my gods behind. I'm going with your people. I'm leaving my people behind. And she said, I want you to know where you lie. I'm going to lie. Where you die, I'm going to die. That's the right kind of immigration.
That's right.
That's what will make America great right there.
Yeah.
I want you to know, when you hear somebody leaving that out, that's a red flag.
Right.
She wasn't leaving Moab to change Bethlehem or to betray herself as a victim or to protest her poverty, but to settle there as a citizen of Bethlehem and be thankful. That's the right way to immigrate.
That's right.
Now, if you don't love America, and I hate to put it in these terms, this is the way I put it. If you don't love America, why don't you just leave America?
Right.
We love it.
Amen.
It's been good to me 66 years. I see it's got problems. Every country's got problems. I'll tell you what you do. You take this test. You go to a third world country and you just stay there 1 year. Then you tell me whether you want to stay there or come back here.
That's right.
Now that's good preaching right there. Somebody say amen, brother.
Amen.
And may Jack and you say amen right there.
Amen.
Hey, listen, she didn't ask her religion, amen. She said, thy God shall be my God. One of the biggest problems going on in America right now today is false religion or the desire for some God other than the living God to be over America. And I want you to know in Judges chapter 2, I just want to read a little bit right here. This is God speaking to His people, and He gave them some pretty good advice. And it's about having a false God. He says here in Judges chapter 2, I'm going to read 4 verses there. And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilead to Bochan and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt. And I brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I'll never leave. I'm sorry. And I said, I'll never break my covenant with you. And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. But ye shall throw down their altars. But you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods, little g, shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. Now, I'm not for sake of time going to go here, but you can go back to Exodus chapter 23, verse 32 through 33, and Numbers chapter 33, verse 52 through 53, and verse number 55, and you can see where God warned them.
Yeah, that's right.
Of what kind of problems they would have. Amen. If they didn't drive these false gods out and these inhabitants out. And I want you to know they're there now.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Let me see why I marked this. I don't even know why I put this in here. Mark chapter 3, verse 24 and 25. It's got something to do with this. The Lord here says, and if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand.
Right.
And I want you to know, we are the United States of America. Does anybody remember? United we shall stand, and what? We shall fall.
Divided.
Amen.
Amen.
I just want you to know, that's one of the things that's going on in America right now.
That's right.
More divided.
It sure is. They removed Bibles, prayer, Ten Commandments. They've changed the history and the Pledge of Allegiance in our schools. They don't want to offend no one. Oh, by the way, that does offend me, and that offends God. He does pay attention to that stuff.
Amen.
And listen, they say no justice, no peace. The Bible said there's no peace, saith the Lord, to the wicked. Isaiah 48, verse 22. You forget about peace apart from God, amen.
That's right.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Amen.
She denounced her religion. Not only that, Brother Mitchell. She desired to work. Can you imagine leaving a country and moving somewhere else and trying to find a job? That's the first thing she did.
Amen.
She sure did. You look in Ruth chapter 2. Mm-hmm. She's ready to work, Carolyn.
That's right.
She said, let me go. Let me go work.
Amen.
You know what? If you'll come to America, come for the right reason to make this people your people, to make our God your God, amen. And come over here and get ready to work. Because we work here in America. Amen. Amen. Look at Ruth chapter 2, verse 2 through 3. Man, first thing she did, and Ruth, the Moabitess, said unto Naomi, let me go now into the field and glean ears of corn after him whose sight I find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, and he's really important, who was of the kindred.
Amen.
That's important.
Right.
Of Amalek.
Yeah.
See, Naomi, she ain't got no inheritance no more. Y'all get that on the slow train. She's got a desire to work.
That's right.
But as she went to work, she found provisions. She found prosperity. By the way, she found a husband. Amen.
Right.
Look at Ruth chapter 4, verse 13. I mean, she come with nothing. But hope. Look at verse 13. Oh, I'm sorry, I gave you the wrong one. I think I'm talking about verse 10. I don't know why I wrote that other verse down there. But it says, moreover, Ruth the Moabitess. No, that's not it. Hold on a minute here. I've messed up big time now. Here you go. It is verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. I guess it just wasn't looking right. That's why I wear glasses, amen. But she found a husband. Boaz took her to be his wife, and she got a husband. But listen, it wasn't just any husband.
Yeah, that's right.
Man.
That's right.
She not only found provision and prosperity, she not only found a husband, but she fed in perfectly in Bethlehem.
Yeah.
She didn't cause no problems at all. She's not down there with her sign.
No.
Burning Bethlehem down while she's peaceably protesting, breaking car windows and car headlights out and setting police cruisers on fire. She's not doing none of that. She fed in perfectly, Brother Jerry.
Amen.
She fed in perfectly there. Man, Lord bless her there. She's got so much food, she don't know what to do with. Now she's got a husband. Not just a husband, the best one any woman could have. Man, he owns half of Bethlehem, amen. Her life was blessed in Bethlehem.
Yes.
Let's look at verse 11 of Ruth chapter 4. Naomi were praying for her. They were praising her. Even Naomi got blessed because of Ruth. But look here at verse 11. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. Look there. They're witnesses. And they say, the Lord make this woman that has come unto thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which too did build the house of Israel. And do thou worthily in Ephrath, and be famous in Bethlehem, and let thy house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bare unto Judah of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife, and when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. Man, you talking about blessings.
Mm-hmm.
And the women said unto Naomi, woo! Blessed be the Lord which hath not left thee this day without a what? Kinsman.
Yeah. Amen.
That his name may be famous in Israel, and he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, have borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it.
There you go.
And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, and this ain't just any name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. Anybody know what that means? Worshipper. That's his name. See? She got over there where the real God was.
Mm-hmm.
Got her husband. Got her place in Bethlehem.
Right.
Found her a job. Found her family. Now she got a son, Brother Ed. And they call him Worshipper.
Right.
Like I said, he ain't just any son. He's the father of Jesse, the father of David. King David, by the way.
Yeah.
Jesus, the son of David, was set upon the throne of his father David. You know what David means? Beloved.
That's right.
Amen. Buddy, she made a good choice.
Yeah,
and I think everybody that makes a choice to come to America, I think they're making a good choice. And I hope they're making the right choice for the right reason.
That's right.
Not to come and change America, but to come and forsake all for America.
Right.
And not to cause problems in America, but to work and be prosperous in America and find your heart's desire in this land of milk and honey. What's going on in America today, the reason we're building that wall, a lot of things are going on in this country to interrupt what God made here in America.
That's right.
Now, I could have went back and read.
Amen.
But God told Israel, He said, I'm giving you this land. That's how America came to be. God gave it to the American people. Why? So that the Word of God could be fulfilled. Every single missionary has proceeded from America, and the gospel has went to the four corners of the world. I want you to know God raised up America to evangelize the world, to carry the gospel to the darkest corner of the world, and a lot of Moabites have come to America.
Amen.
A lot of Ruths have come to America. But a lot come to America to try to change America, to try to take over America. And that's what we've got to be careful of.
That's right.
Even Americans have been hoodwinked here lately.
Mm-hmm.
Even Americans have been bewitched here lately. I say to you, I say to all, you better start paying attention.
Yeah.
what's going on in America right now. I agree with the president. This is probably the most important election that's ever been in America.
Amen.
His preceder, Barack Obama, Barack Hussein, that didn't even tell you his middle name until he got elected, and he grinned and said, a lot of people don't know me by my middle name, Hussein. You can't have the name Hussein and not be a Muslim. That's why he didn't mention his name. Here's what he said, Brother Ed. He said, I think I came on the scene too early.
Yes, he did say that.
I hope he did. And I hope that we remember who gave us this country.
That's right.
And I hope our allegiance is always to the one that owns everything there is in America and in the earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And even though they've corrupted the education, even though they've changed the curriculum, they can't change Him. I want you to know He changes not. And I want you to know He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And if you want to come to this country, we welcome you. If you want to come to this country, we'll love you. If you want to come to this country, we'll pray with you and pray for you. But come to the right reason, or don't come to America. Amen. America. The communists said, when they came over here to try to find out what made America great, they brought back this report. You can check it out. They said, here's what makes America great. It's churches.
Yeah.
Right.
And they said, if America ever ceases to be great, America will be no more. Our president says he's trying to make America great again. I agree with him.
Right.
We need to return to the old past.
Right.
We need to put up the statues they've been pulling down. We need to put out the fires they've been lighting. And we need to reclaim this country for what it was made to be.
Amen.
One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen.
That's right.
You're going to immigrate to America, come the right way or don't come. And if I find out you're here for the wrong reason, I'll myself escort you to the door. Amen.
Amen.
But listen, she made the right decision.
Amen.
And so do we need to make the right decision to leave all for Christ. I'm glad that Christ, I'm glad He's honored here. They hate our president because he mentions the name Jesus. They'll hate you if you mention that name Jesus. They hate him.
Right.
I want you to know Jesus said, marvel not if men hate you because they hated me before they hated you. They hate him. The reproach of us is, reproach of him's on us, but the reproach of us was upon him. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all, and he bore it and took it all away. And I want you to know he told us to take up our cross daily and follow him. Hey, listen, it's a blessing, amen, to be reproached for his name, amen.
Amen.
Anybody see that young lady in that restaurant? That Antifa come in there, Joanne. They was trying to get her to raise up a fist. She wouldn't do it. There were some in there that did. They was a little bit intimidated. I don't condemn them. Probably was fearful. I know for sure I wouldn't raise my hand. It had cut my arm off.
Right.
I know for sure I wouldn't. But that little woman, she had some grit. Civil. She sat there like this. And they're screaming at her. And they're cursing her, Phyllis. They said something, I can't remember what they're saying, something about racist. If you don't raise your fist, you're racist or something. She said, I'm not raising my hand. And you know what? We're probably going to get in that dilemma too.
Oh, yeah.
When it comes down,
amen.
I'll cut my arms off before I raise mine. I'll break them.
That's right.
There's no way I'm going to raise my hand. Anything, Carolyn, but Him.
That's right.
Amen.
I'll lift up holy hands for Him.
Amen.
I'll not lift them up for no one else.
That's right.
What about all this knee bowing?
Amen.
I did bow a knee.
Yeah, I did too. Amen.
But it was to Him.
Right.
I would take a knee for Him.
Amen.
You know what? They're digging their own grave.
Yeah.
They're building their own gallows.
Right.
People in America starting to wake up some of these shenanigans. That's what I'm talking about the hood. wink and the bewitch and all that right there. This stuff's kind of went overboard, you know what I mean? I mean, I kid you, somebody said you give someone enough rope to hang yourself. Best I can tell you about there, Brother Mitchell.
That's you're right.
If I ain't nailing them,
that's right.
Except to him.
Amen.
Go ahead and shoot me, buddy. Shoot me standing.
Amen.
It'll be all right. I'm good to go. Post has done been paid.
Amen.
Yeah, I mailed me some arrowheads, Joanna. I emailed him. I said, I didn't give him. He said, well, I mailed him. He came back to me. He said, I'm sorry, I forgot to put postage on it. When he put postage on it, it came to me. Guess what? I done had the postage game.
Amen.
I'm good to go.
Bless him, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
You're going to come to America. Come like Ruth came to Bethlehem.
That's right.
She left her people. She left her false gods. She left her life in Moab behind. She didn't come over here to Bethlehem, put all her garb on, you know, all that, I don't know, some kind of sign they've got every color of the rainbow now identifies, you know, they've got 16 colored robe on and towel around their head and it's plumb up to here. And you know what, if you want to come to America, take your rag off. Take your robe off. Dress like an American. Hey, I don't care if you cuss like an American, try to fit in. You know what I mean? I just assume you fit in instead of trying to change America. I know it's got problems. Come over here for the right reason. Come over here and seek to be a citizen of this blessed country or don't come.
Right.
Ruth done it right. She showed how to immigrate to another country. Praise God, I made an immigration to another country. I ain't there yet, but I'm on my way. Amen. I forsook all for Him. Hey, man, I ain't going to be like Lot's wife. I ain't going to look back. I'm looking unto Him. The author and the finisher of my faith. One day where He is, I'll be. Father, we thank You for the privilege to deliver this message today. Lord, I pray You'll take this message, make sure it gets where it needs to be. Make sure the people that hear this message, Lord, I pray they take it to heart. I pray they'd hear it more than once. I pray, God, Lord, it'd go to bed with them. I pray, Lord, Father, it would go through them throughout the day. And I pray they would have to admit this message is true. And we got problems in America.
Yeah.
And the problems in America they shouldn't be here. If people in America would stand up for what America stands for, our Constitution, our churches stand on the Word of God, then America would get back in good standing with God.
Yeah.
I know this country's in trouble, Lord. But Lord, we're trying to preach good preaching, straight preaching. We're trying to deliver Your message to Your people. We're doing our part. Now I pray, God, You'll do what we can't. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
I'd like to ask everybody to stand. Get Brother Jerry, please. Sister Sharon. Just a verse of invitation on him. This message may not even pertain to you at all. But old Brother Eddie had to get it off his chest. I had to deliver this message like Jonah delivered that message to Nineveh.
Yeah.
I had a mandate from God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.